Hello, hello, you guys. Welcome back to Tell Me Why You're Special, okay? This is the show where I kind of drag you into the arena, and the second you sit down, like there's no warm up, there's no easing in. We are in the fire, okay? It's the hot seat. This is the place where I really want the mask to come off and I want the real stories to come out because we see enough of the highlight reel. It's just not relatable. We want to see what's possible. And the moment, the moments that challenge us the most, the parts that, we didn't survive, this is where our people are waiting to be found. So, I'll ask you some questions. My guest today is David Nassif. I'm super excited to have him in here. And I'm going to throw him right into just basically his elevator pitch. So, David, welcome to the show. And yeah, you have your 60-second tell me why you're special moment.
Well, Brandon, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I tell you, something happened to me when I was 63. I don't know if you want me to explain that piece too, but that just turned my life upside down. I had been 18 years with the same company, just got fired. Wouldn't wish that day on anybody. I did the math, and if I drained all of our savings and all of our retirement, we were scheduled to be broke by 65. Now, the hardest thing, Brandon, though, was not that. It was driving home saying, how am I going to tell my wife, Mary? We'd been married for 30 years and she did not deserve the mess I just threw our life into. And that was a day I don't think I'll ever forget.
Yeah. No, I mean that's your life imploding. Fired at 63, not laid off, not restructured.
Oh, no. It was fired.
Fired. 40 years behind you. So, what was the moment just even in that drive home where you realized like, oh, I'm not just having a bad week. This is a full on, my life's imploding.
Well, it's funny. When I went home and told my wife, she is so supportive. She goes, honey, I believe in you. You'll work this out. Don't worry about it. But I had been married 30 years at that point, Brandon, and I could see in her eyes there was concern. She tried to hide it, but and that just got me. I mean, it's just like, no, I can't do this to her. And I remember waking up. When I'm the kind of person, when I hit the pillow, I'm out. But I remember waking up in the middle of the night thinking, we've got all this money still going out, all our bills. They haven't slowed down. They haven't come, but we have zero money coming in. What the heck am I going to do here? I tell you, it was a very difficult time period of my life. Very
Yeah,
difficult.
I can imagine that. I mean, doing the math, and you said you'd be broke by 65. I think at that point, like most people would spiral into denial or just kind of hope that something would change. What did you actually do with that number?
Well, I think I eventually, when I got conscious of things, then the numbness wore off. I think I realized I have to do something here. No one's going to save me. No one's going to pull me out of this thing. I've got to pull myself out of this thing. And so, after a couple months of dead-end job searching, because my heart wasn't in it, I did not want to go back to the corporate world. But I
Right.
felt like I had no choice. I mean, that's how I earned my money for all these years. But I says, I got to make a change. And so I took a huge risk and I went to work as an independent sales agent on straight commission, no salary, no safety net. The first months were brutal, cold calls, constant rejection, rookie mistakes. I was getting no. I never heard so many no's in my life, I don't think. But you know, Brandon, looking back on that rejection was the resistance I needed to build my mental muscles. Because after 10 months of grinding, I hit an incredible milestone. I was suddenly making more money than my good paying corporate salary. And for a brief second, I thought we made it. But then reality hit. I said, no, we didn't make anything. I've been making good money for 40 years and I had nothing. I have to learn how to invest. I have to learn how to build wealth. This is not making money isn't building wealth. It's part of it, but it's not. And so I dug deep. I said, I don't have time for theories on investments. I got to get to that. I read 21 books, listened to 13 podcasts on financials consistently, read blogs and articles. Finally, I distilled everything I learned onto one piece of paper. I said, if I can't make it simple on one page, because I had an agency to run, I didn't have time to be invested in the stock, looking at the stocks and follow them. I had to get it simplified, a set it and forget it approach, put it down. 6 years later, at age 69, I achieved what I thought was impossible, from terrified of being broke to a seven-figure portfolio and real financial freedom. Brandon, I now know it is never too late to rewrite your story. Because if I can pull that off, starting as late as 63. Anybody can with the right direction.
Yeah. First of all, I love that. And it doesn't take long for people in the hot seat to really show why they're special. And I just want to highlight kind of what you went through in that moment because you pivoted, you did something you'd never done before, let go of the comfort of what you'd known, the corporate job, which I mean, they literally stabbed you in the back. So I can imagine it made it a little easy to turn on that and just say no. But like you're talking about all of this rejection. You're talking about this didn't just work out overnight. It didn't just magically, you didn't just show up for a job and everything worked out. You have to go through it to get through it. And you did that. And I think that's incredible.
And months of no income. I was working harder than I've ever worked. And how do you feel like when you're working all these hours and you're making zero? It's like that is so frustrating. And you says they stabbed me in the back. You know, I thought that for a moment, but in hindsight, Brandon, they gave me the greatest gift. I mean, I did not have the guts, and I'll admit that on your show, I did not have the guts to quit. I should have said, "Take this job and shove it. And I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna just go out there." I didn't have the courage to do that. I didn't have the courage to do that. I needed to be fired. I should send them a thank you note with a fruit basket or something like that, saying, "Thank you for firing me," because it was a gift. I mean, I don't think they meant it as a gift, but it was a gift, and I'm grateful for that gift.
And that's another thing that I think people don't understand that separates the people that are making the things happen, that are actually doing the things other people dream about and talk about, is that that thing that was meant to destroy you ends up being the gift. There isn't anything I've ever gone through that I would change, no matter how much it hurt me, because that's why I get to do what I do and it's why I am who I am. But I
I
hear you
agree.
on the working and not getting paid, sir. I'm a stay-at-home mom, okay? So I
Okay.
put in the hours and I'm like, where is my pay? I mean, if I really wrote this down, I'm definitely, yeah, I probably should quit. No. No.
You wouldn't quite, you love
Of course. Of
it.
course. I know in your story, I read a little bit of your story, where we met, and you talked a little bit about a janitor who retired with like a lot of millions. I don't remember the number, but doctors, you know, were earning 10 times more and retired broke. You're talking about what you did for the one page wealth and working hard, earning big, like it's not the same thing. So can you help explain that to the audience a little bit?
There's a lie out there that a lot of us buy into, unfortunately, and I bought into it for a while, I guess, too, is that, oh, I don't make enough money. I'll never get wealthy. I mean, you know, it's for the rich people, the movie stars, the sports players. I'm just an average person going to work, and I don't make a much money at all. That is a lie. Let me explain why I say that. Okay, the average NBA player, National Basketball Association player, makes over $10 million a year. I didn't say $10 million in a career, Brandon. I said $10 million in a single year. Okay, and yet, after 5 years of retirement, 60% of them are broke, according to the Netflix documentary Broke, and the NFL is worse. After only 2 years of retirement, 78% of are them are either bankrupt are in serious financial stress, according to Sports Illustrated. Now compare that to Dale Schroeder, a basketball-loving carpenter who made a modest income his whole life, but he lived on less than he earned, invested the difference. He ended up with a $3 million portfolio. Now that is more than majority of the NBA and NFL players making their tens of million dollars a year. So what we're saying here, and I think you touched on, is making money and building wealth, they are two completely different skill sets. The pro sports people, they understood how to make money, but they had no clue about building wealth. The carpenter, he was pretty bad at making money, to be honest with you. I mean, but yet he was a master at building wealth. And those are the two separate skills that are different. And they just because you have one doesn't mean you have the other, you know.
No, I love that. And I hope, you know, you guys understand that. I do know, you know, before we end the show, you have some resources that I want you to share with them because you
Sure.
really did put everything on one page. And I mean, we are just, I'm, how old am I? Like close to 50. We're close to 50. And we just found out like last year about IRAs and how important it is to start that kind of stuff. And even just like any kind of investments, you know, it's just not talked about. We're not taught this in school, obviously. Okay.
That's right.
So it's incredible to go down the rabbit hole and there's a lot of information. So you kind of did a lot of hard work for a lot of people, but
Yes.
I want to
Yeah.
talk about the fact that society is obsessed with hustle, with complexity, with looking like we're always doing something. So when it
Right.
comes to your system of doing nothing,
Yeah, that's right.
what does that mean, and why is it so hard for people to trust in that?
I think people just want to overcomplicate it. Let me tell you, the investment community, they want it to be overcomplicated. They want it so complicated, Brandon, that you need them to help you, because to help them, I mean, because they want a piece of your income. And I'm not like putting people down here, but I'm just saying it's your money and it's not complicated. And you don't really need all these advisors that all want their cut, because by the time they all get their cuts out of there, there's not a lot left over. And so I'm just telling you that my situation, I only own two investments. This is how simple my compass is and how simple my investment plan is. I own two investments. One is an index fund of the United States companies. I own every publicly traded company in the United States, a little piece of it, okay? The other fund I own is every non-US company outside of the United States. So, Brandon, I literally own a piece of every company on the planet. For
Wow.
me to go broke, the entire planet would have to collapse financially. And if that happened, we'd have a lot bigger problems than money,
I was just gonna say, I don't think money would be
okay?
your last worry right there, Jeff.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is, it's two investments. My gosh, how easy is that? You know how much, when I get paid, when I pay myself every month, I take 5 minutes, maybe not that much, and I just transfer the funds on my computer from my checking account, the money that hit my checking account, my pay, to my investment account. A portion goes in the international, a portion goes in the domestic, and I click out. That's it. I mean, who needs an advisor to do that? I mean, I don't need one. And they take a much bigger chunk than people. It sounds like tiny percentages, but Brandon,
Adds up.
over do they compound? We're going to be talking millions for some people, literally millions.
Yeah. Okay. So you literally went from like nearly broke, no job at 63 to a safe millionaire at 69. 6 years. I mean, I know a lot of people right now are just like, that's not even possible. It's not relatable, but you're here, you're telling them the reality of your experience. You made this possible. At what point did you actually believe this was working, and what did that feel like, where you're like, I did it?
Well, let me tell you what made me understand like this is actually working. Just so you know, in that 6 year period, my portfolio doubled three different times. Okay. I wasn't day trading. I wasn't chasing crypto. I wasn't trying to time the market. I was doing the exact opposite of that. I was doing something so boring it would put you to sleep. I discovered a simple investment solution. And the crazy thing is, Brandon, when the market was down, I was thrilled. When other people were panicking and selling, I was buying more shares at discount prices. My only regret was the market wasn't down more during that 6 year period. But what really shocked me was the rule of 72. It's simple math. It's if you are getting a 10% return on your investment, which is a very safe and secure thing to do, if you're getting that, your money will double every 7.2 years, or roughly every 86 months. My first double occurred in 30 months, not 86.
Wow.
Second, 13. Third, 29, for an average of 24 months, way less than half the expected 86-month time period. But the secret wasn't the returns. I was doing three things. I was saving a good portion of my income every month. I was putting it in the right kind of investments, like I told you, low-cost index funds. And I was using market volatility to work for me instead of against me. So many people want to buy high and sell low, which is the opposite of what you want to do. I worked out so I understood how to make the volatility work for me. You know, so many people, they go to the department store, they go 50% off sale. You don't say, "Hey, I don't want to pay 50% off. I want to pay full retail." What that's, you know, that's, no one says that. But yet, when it comes to investing and the market drops 50%, it's like, "Oh my gosh, we got to get my money out of there." No, that's when you want to buy, when it's 50% off, not when it's 50% more. Than so many people do the opposite of that. I learned how to build wealth twice as fast with half the risk and almost zero complexity. And that's when you do that, you have a confidence, you have a calmness about you, and you can just take yourself to financial freedom much safer than most people are doing.
Yeah, I'm inspired. I feel like we have to end the show right now so I can figure out what the heck you're doing. No, but you do have a book coming out, and
Yes,
I
is
saw
that?
that you had up there, like you had 600 requests on Goodreads
Yeah.
before it was even out. That
Yeah.
is so incredible. What do you think people are actually starving for when they click that want to read button?
I think people want simplicity. It's just so complicated, so intimidating. Like you were talking about 401ks or whatever, IRAs or whatever. People, it's not complicated. You just have to calmly read it in simple terms. I wrote the book for the average person. I failed the second grade. My wife, she's 1 point away from being a genius. I say together we make an average intelligent person, okay? But I failed the second grade. I am not a financial genius, okay? I am a pretty normal average person, and I made it so everybody would understand it. Everybody would understand it. And if I can understand it, anybody can. And I made two pieces of it. I'll just show you. This is what I want to give your listeners for free. If I could just show them real quick. This
Amazing.
is the one page one. It's one piece of paper. It's not complicated. It took me from 63 to 69. And Brandon, I still use it today, every single day. But let me tell you the secret about this. These are the steps to go by. Say you're on getting out of debt step and you go, well, David, I need a little more help than that. Just those, things. Then it tells you chapter four. And then you just simply go to chapter four in the book. And if you then you read about, oh, this is how I do it. And these are the steps, and it's simple. Or investments, like you were saying, 401ks. Well, that step, you go to chapter five in the book or whatever. And it just it, they go hand in hand. This is the 30,000-foot view. This is the roadmap saying turn right, turn left, turn, at the start. And together, they make so much sense. I've never seen any other plan do it like this. And I says, this is how my brain works. I need to see the big picture, but then I need to see the little steps, what to do. And when you bring them together like that, it just makes things so much simpler and easier.
I love that. But do you think this is the thing? I get frustrated watching people. I work with people every day, and it's like the simplest thing is the most impossible thing for them. No matter how simple we make something, some people still just like can't grasp it. What do you think is the best way to kind of break through the people
Well,
that, 'cause simple, right? We're talking about like something as small as health, right? Simple. Go outside, get some sunshine, eat raw food, move your body, and like they just don't. They're not connecting. So,
Well, here's why I think this resonates with so many people. This book I wrote, it isn't your typical financial planning book at all. It is filled with true real life stories. You're going to cry with laughter and you're going to cry with sadness. These are people I knew or I know of or my own self. And you could actually take all the financial stuff out of it and you'd want to read the book just because of the stories, okay? But when you bring them together, the people who think it's complicated, when they see it in real life in a real story and say, oh, that's how it, oh, I get it. Now that's how it works. Where when you just give them the theory or the financial piece of it and you don't give them the how it is applied in a real life situation, it does seem a little more complicated. So that's why I says I have to explain to people in terms they understand. And these are people like neighbors, people at church, people I know, people myself, my relatives, how they failed and how they succeeded in using these principles. And that makes it much, much easier to comprehend, I think.
I am genuinely so excited to get your book. Like I am, you sold me. I want to talk about like my demographic is kind of different. I've got like 25 to 60 listening to most of my shows. I want you to talk to my 25-year-olds that are listening right now who think that retirement planning is something they can worry about in their 40s. Like what would you say to them directly right now?
You have such an advantage, you don't even maybe realize it. If you start now the compounding from 20 to 40, you could almost stop working at 40 and or just glide the rest. You could probably stop investing at 40 and just let it build and just live on whatever you earn. You have, if you wait, it's the reverse situation. Like, oh my God, now you're catching up the whole time, So please start now because I'm telling you, if you get yourself a 20-year head start, it's almost you have an unfair advantage. You are going to be able to retire earlier and you're going to be able to do it much more effortlessly than the people who wait to 40, 50. But those 50, 40 and 50 people, you said they're part of your audience too. Don't you dare think it's too late for you. I wish I could have started at 50. Man, can you imagine now what I have? I mean, my doubles now are seven-figure doubles. Okay. So I mean, we're talking pretty big money now. And the double I'm on now is doubling my last seven-figure double. But if I could have started at 50 or 40, oh my gosh, can you? So please don't be telling me it's too late and those people. Both groups have such different advantages.
So you guys heard that. My 50, 60-year-olds feel like you missed the window. You're convinced that the math doesn't work for you anymore. David just shared solid truth with you completely. I kind of want to go back to like the getting fired. Because I do feel like, and that's why I have the show here, because I want people to understand that the thing that could have been the worst possible thing for us, is the catalyst for us to get to the best parts of us. So getting fired at 63, that's the worst day of your life until it became the best. And that kind of reframe, you weren't just born with something special. There wasn't a magic little switch that's like, oh, you won't be like everybody else that's going to try to fight this naturally. You made a choice. You made a choice. And can you take us back to that choice? Like, how did you make that choice? And what does it look for the person right now who is just in the thick of it? They're in the mess. And how do we flip the switch for their choice?
I have to say this, Brandon. When I decided that no one was going to hire me, because everybody I interviewed with, I could read their mind. They were saying, "Why would we hire you when we get somebody half your age with
Right.
one third the salary?" So I knew that was happening, and I didn't want the job either. How do you interview with your own? But I thought to myself, I need to change. And so when I decided to start my own company, that was not as easy as just that sounds like. I said I tried in my 40s twice to start a company. Both failed miserably. One put me into a six-figure debt spiral that was miserable. So I had scars, Randy. This wasn't like just, oh, let me try that. I never did this before. Let me see. No, I did it before and I did it twice and I failed twice. Okay. And so it's just like, but here's what kept me going. I said to myself when I started the company, okay, I failed twice before, but you know something? I learned something from those failures. Yes, I have scars, but I also have knowledge. And I'm smarter now at 63 than I was at 43. And I know what I did wrong, and I am not going to make those mistakes again. I had four things that I says I will not do because I learned those were mistakes. I had to learn them. That was an education. It was a six-figure university education I had to go through in debt to learn it, but I learned it. And I tell you, that did keep me going because I said, and I don't care if your people are 20, 30, 40, everybody has a history. 20-year-olds have a history, 30-year-olds have, and you can look back on your history and say, okay, I made some serious mistakes, but what did I learn from those mistakes? And how can I use them to work smarter now in this next phase that I'm in? And that's really helped me. It gave me a little quiet confidence down there that grew as I started to see some success after a while.
So the confidence wasn't just natural. You had to actually take action to earn that. I maybe repeat that for everybody to learn.
Yeah, exactly. And I heard something written down. It said, I someone was saying a prayer that I was reading about, and they says the answer they got in the prayer is, "I love you too much to deny you this experience."
Yes.
And I really felt the Lord loved me too much to deny me the experience of getting fired at 63. And it was one of the best gifts I could have gotten,
Yeah.
but at the time I just didn't see it that
Right.
way.
And that,
Fortunately.
for everybody listening, that kind of feels like you're in the fire. I know it looks like there's not a way out, and I know it feels all consuming. But if you could just continue to take that one step forward, otherwise, what's the alternative? I mean, David, where would you be had you not made that decision right now? What would life have looked like for you? That it costs you everything.
I know where I'd be, Brandon, because I've seen people who are older than me and who are around my age, and they had an experience, maybe not exactly like mine, but there were same results of having no money at 65 or whatever. And unfortunately, the pain that caused them was excruciating. I mean, what is it like to have no job and no money and have no, and unfortunately, Brandon, I've seen those people carry that pain with them to their grave, to their grave. It's just, there was never relief financially. I'm not saying they didn't have a good spiritual situation. I'm not saying they didn't have a good family, but when you have no money, that clouds so many other areas of your life. It's just not fair. It's just not right. And I wasn't going to do that. Those people I noticed them. I didn't just casually walk. And I said, that is not going to happen to me. I'm not going to let that happen to my wife. That was a bigger thing. I wasn't going to let that happen to my family.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. And now your mission is to help other people, so it's not happening to other people around you. And that is the part that I love the most of your story is you went through it and you didn't keep it to yourself. You very well
No.
could have just done this and not said a word, not shared the magic, but I think it's important that you found what worked for you and your mission is to share that with other people. I have a final question for you, and then I
Sure.
also want you to tell us like how to get resourced with you.
Sure.
Everything's going to be in the show notes, but
Sure.
tell us about the book where we can find that. But if you could go back and hand the 40 years younger David one sentence, just one sentence about money, What would it be?
It would be this: clear direction beats misdirected speed every time. When
Nice.
I got the clear direction of my compass, I tell you, it was, I just went in the right direction. 40 years, I was speeding but I was spinning my wheels for 40 years. I was spinning my wheels. Once you get that clear direction, it's like, forget it. You don't need to worry about the speed. It takes care of itself. Right now, the speed's going so fast. It's the doubling is happening so significant. It's exponential. I mean, but it wasn't, if I didn't have the clear direction, I wouldn't be experiencing this, what I am right now. I know I wouldn't.
Right. I love that. Where do we find your stuff?
It's real simple. Go to onepagewealthcompass.com. As soon as you get to the page, you'll see up get the free one-page PDF download of the compass. That's this very compass. Like I say, I still use it today. It's not like a theory idea. Oh, I don't need it. No, I need it. I just review it for 2 minutes a week. It keeps me focused. It keeps me the shiny objects and the distraction. It keeps me clear on that one. And they can get it for free. When they get it, they'll get my newsletter too, which is also free. Tips and things they'll get ongoing. So it's kind of like a coaching in a virtual way. And then if they like it and they want to get the companion book to it, it's on my site. It's very inexpensive. You just go to Amazon, click it, and you can get it. And that's really it. I'm not selling anything else. There's nothing. I'm not doing this to make money. I'm fine with financially. I'm doing this to help the people who I wish somebody had done this for me, because
Yeah.
when especially when I was 30 or 40, that would have been amazing.
Right. No, I love that. And you know, that is definitely something that makes you special. And that's what I love about this show is just to see people like everybody's the same. We're all the same, you guys. We're all in the same arena. But like you're special because you didn't let 63 be your ending. It was your origin story. And a lot of people in these situations, like everyone's just looking for someone to blame or something to numb the pain or a reason to give up. You looked at the math, you built your compass and you found your way to the seven figures in 6 years. That is not luck. It is not privilege. That is a man who refused to be finished. And the beautiful part, and what I love the most, is when I get to sit across from people who really have stewarded their God-given potential. I mean, he put you through this so you can help someone else. And I don't think there's anything greater than that to know not only are you taken care of, but you get this incredible opportunity to share the mess, which I don't know about you guys, but if I was that age and I got fired, I'd feel humiliated. I would feel a lot of shame. And then you said having to face your wife, that was tough. You went through all of that stuff, came out on the other side, and are lifting a hand up for people. You didn't just build wealth, like you built the map for other people to follow. And I think that's the thing that matters most. Taking your worst moment and turning it into someone else's lifeline. This is legacy, and you are what this show is about. So I just want to thank you so much, David, for sitting in the hot seat today and giving it to us straight. I am genuinely excited to get resourced. I will be getting I'm getting your book. I mean, obviously, I feel it like you know, just get the book. So, to everyone listening, I need you guys to hear this. That thing that you're ashamed of, that mess that you're still in the middle of, that thing that feels like the worst chapter of your story, that is your message. Stop sitting on your mess like it's something to hide. David got fired at 63 and turned it into a best-selling book and a multi-million dollar life. Your rock bottom is not your disqualification. That's what makes you qualified. If he had never gone through anything and tried to sell this book to anybody, I don't think he'd gotten very far because it's not relatable.
No.
Your mess, you guys, your mess is your message. Your struggle is someone else's survival manual. So stop waiting until you're on the other side to share it. People need you right now, right in the middle of it, figuring it out in real time. So stop sitting on it and start speaking from it, okay? Use the show notes, the links to connect with David, get your hands on the one page and get the book, okay? It's in the show notes. And again, David, thank you so much. This was incredible. You know, another reason I'm blessed to be in this chair because this was a great conversation. So I appreciate your time and you guys, I'll see you on the next hot seat.
Brent, I enjoyed every minute of it. Thank you.
Thank you.